you. Don't worry about this thing. Tell your neighbor, I'm a set up baby. Now say it like you believe it. I'm a set up baby. I mean, I'm so designed for success that even my enemy feeds me. Kona mashita rabasata. I mean, I'm so wired to succeed that my enemy supports me.
Oh, he's a wonder in my soul.
I feel that, y'all.
Ladies and gentlemen, the gospel is on your radio.
I'm thirsty.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. K255BT, Monroe, West Monroe, 98.9. K223BI, Greenwood, Shreveport, 92.5. KQJO, St. Joseph, Natchez, 99.3. He's a wonder. And the gospel continues to grow. Praising the Lord. In Senla and in Miss Lou.
My soul. Come on, mama, and tell me what he's been to you.
All right.
Good morning, my brothers and sisters of Central Louisiana. It's going to be all right for you. Got Pastor Dunkley of the Mount Olive Baptist Church, 4711 England Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana. Call your friend, call your neighbors, and tell them it's going to be all right because Pastor Dunkley's on the airway.
The name Jesus, it is the sweetest name. Some people say I'm crazy, but there's something I can't explain, no. The power that I feel when I call his name. Said it's just like fire. Shut up in my bone. I can feel the Holy Ghost moving. And it just won't leave me alone, no, 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 no. Something about the name Jesus. Something about the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name I know. Oh, how I love the name Jesus. Oh, how I love the name Jesus. But it's something I can't explain, no, no, no. The power that I feel when I call his name. Said it's just like fire shut up in my bones. I can feel the Holy Ghost moving and it just won't leave me alone, no, 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 no. Something about the name Jesus. Something about the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name I know. Oh, how I love the name Jesus. Oh, how I love the name Jesus. It is the sweetest name. Can I tell you about the name Jesus? See, there's no other greater name. Somebody here today knows when you call on the name of Jesus that there's power, there's healing, there's deliverance. All you gotta do is call on the name of Jesus this morning. He'll make everything all right. Yes, he will. He's your burden bearer. He's your help. He's your friend if you need a friend. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. Can't nobody do you like Jesus. He'll pick you up. He'll turn you around. He'll place your feet on solid ground. Can't nobody, 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 nobody. Shoo-be-doo-doo.
Thank you for this precious moment right now. Lord, we thank you that we realize that it's just something about your name. Jesus is just something about your name. When we call your name, we can feel a movement, a tingling, a vibration within our soul. We realize that there is power just in your name. Well, you said whatever we asked in your name, it would be done. You said there's no name in heaven or on earth that one can be saved but by the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just grateful and thankful that not only we know your name, but we know you. That we have a relationship through faith and love in Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, for this gathering. Now, Lord, we want to hear from you. We want a word from you, Lord. Give us open minds, open hearts, and receptive spirits that we might receive that which you have for us this day. In Jesus' glorious and precious name, we do pray. Amen. Amen. To Reverend Lavallee and to officers and members of this church, it's just good for us to be here. And we thank God for all of you. We thank God for Arthur, that provides the music and pitching in whenever we need him. Thank God for Leah and Vicky this morning and all of you that she's gracing the choir stand, though she's the only child there. We thank God for that. Because sometimes you have to stand alone. Sometimes you have to go alone. But we realize that we are standing and going for the Lord. And that's what makes the difference. I heard someone say that only what we do for the Lord will last. Everything else is just temporary. It's just fleeing as a mist. I'd like to lift up a thought this morning from the book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 37. The book of Acts, chapter 2, beginning at verse 37. And the book of Acts gives us the history of the church. Yeah, the beginning of the church. universal church. And the word of our Lord says, now, chapter 2, verse 37, Acts chapter 2, verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked, pierced, cut to the heart, and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or forgiveness of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, as many as the Lord our God will so call. May God bless the reader, hearer, and doer of his divine word. Peter wanted them to know that this promise was not just for the Jews, but this promise was for all those that were present, those that were absent, those that were far off, including us today. I want to talk for a little while this morning from the thought, responding to the gospel. Responding to the gospel. This text is a reminder that preaching demands a response. When the gospel is preached, there is always a response to accept it or reject it. There is never a neutral response to the preaching of the gospel. Even when people do nothing as a response to preaching, they are really doing something. They are rejecting the gospel. You must understand that the gospel has power to save, to deliver, to heal, and to set free men and women, boys and girls. Then you hear Jesus say the other day, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted and set the captives free. In order for that to happen, I must be willing to receive and believe the gospel when it's preached. I come to tell you, Marale, that there is no value in preaching unless lives are being saved. Indeed, worship is not worship until someone has claimed and come forward to Christ. When preaching takes place, there is no positive response to it. Either sinners left lost or saint left without growth. But you'll notice in the text, as Peter preached, the hearers were convinced, convicted, commanded, and converted by the preaching of the gospel. Now, this first sermon that Peter preached on Pentecost, after they all had been filled with the Holy Ghost, and they broke out of the upper room where they were and began to speak in tongues, began to speak in the language of those that was gathered around. And many was amazed and many was surprised, and they said, what is all of this about? And aren't these Galatians? And how is it that they are speaking in our dialect? And this was the day of Pentecost, and there were many Jews that was in town in the city of Jerusalem at this time. But they all understood what Peter and the others were saying in their languages. And here now, he has taken the floor to preach God's word, and he's preaching on the subject of the crucifixion and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, you got to understand that he is talking to Jews. The audience here is Jewish.
And he starts out by saying to them that you killed him, even though it was not apart from the foreknowledge of God, but you have taken by lawless hands and crucified and put to death whom God raised up, having loosed the pain of death, that because it was not possible that he should be held by it. In other words, Peter is saying to them that you're guilty. Even though God's plan is taking place for the salvation of man, but yet you're guilty for the sin you committed. He says to them in his message, and this message convinced them that they needed a Savior. Because here we see him when he says, when they heard this, when they heard the gospel, when they heard Peter preaching, when they heard the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, they was convinced that they needed to be saved. And every time that we hear the gospel, my darling, we ought to be convinced that we need a Savior. We ought to be convinced that, yeah, we're guilty, but because of the blood of Jesus, we have been declared righteous. They was guilty. And you got to understand that the Jews really thought that they didn't need to be saved. Go to the book of John in the 8th chapter, and you'll find that they say, we are the children of Abraham. We are the descendants of Abraham. And then Jesus said, well, if you are the children of Abraham, the descendants of Abraham, then you ought to do what Abraham did. And Abraham believed God. Abraham trusted God, but you are not. Yeah, when they heard the gospel, when they heard the word of God, the gospel, this message got their attention. Because they said, the text says that when they heard this, that not only were they convinced of their sinfulness, but they were convicted. Because the Bible says that the word cut to their heart. The Bible says that the word, it pierced their heart. This word pierced, it speaks of a wounded conscience. It has reference to a penetration of a needle or a sharp instrument. It speaks of grief, and it speaks of acute pain that they felt because of the situation that they were in. They were convicted. That is me, Lord. Not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, O Lord, that stands in the need of prayer. They had crucified Christ, and now they are fully aware of what they had done. They are convicted of the fact that they had a part in the crucifixion of Christ. And that's what the gospel does. It convicts us of all our sins. And every time we hear the gospel, we ought to be reminded of how far we may have gone away from God. They was convinced, they was convicted of their sin, and they cried out, brethren, what shall we do? We're guilty. What is that we can do? Somebody is crying out this morning from within, Rev, what must I do about the sin in my life? What must I do about my unforgiving spirit? What must I do to have peace within? I'm glad you asked, because here he gives us the remedy right here in the text. Gives us the remedy. Not only lets us know that the gospel convinces us of sin, convicts us of our sin, but here the gospel commands us to do something. It is up to you, my darling, whether you do it or not. It's up to you whether you accept it or reject it. I'm just like the mailman. I'm just bringing the mail. It is up to you whether you read it or throw it in the trash. But I pray that you read it. I pray that you believe it. I pray that you receive it. He said, Peter says to them, well, the first thing you got to do is that you got to repent. Now, to repent means that there's a change of attitude which will lead to a change of action. Repent means that there is a change on the inside. Repent means that I'm not sorry that I got caught, But I'm sorry that I hurt God. I'm sorry that I dishonored God. I'm sorry that I hurt others. Yeah. It's like the prodigal son. When he came home, his cry was, I have sinned against God. Yeah. That's what his cry was. Yeah. I have sinned against God first. That's my father. But when David had got caught in his act, he said, I've sinned against God. God alone. And that's true repentance, that I realize what I've done is against God. It is more than signing a decision card. It's more than just shaking the hand of the preacher. But it's a separation from sin and a surrendering to Christ. That's what it's all about. There must be repentance. I'm afraid that too often that we baptize people before they repented. Yeah. And we wonder why there is no change. Yeah. Well, if there is no repentance, the baptism is no good. Change takes place on the inside. Yes. And is manifest on the outside. And you can't do it yourself. Only God can do it through the word of God, prayer, and the Holy Spirit. They want to know, what shall we do? Peter said, you got to repent. You got to have a change of mind. You got to have a change of attitude towards God and towards sin. You got to get mad with sin. You got to get upset with sin. That I've had enough of this. I'm tired of what I'm doing now. I'm tired of these unholy habits I got. I want to be set free. Yes, repentance. Man, one writer said, man is born with his face turned away from God. Uh-huh. When he truly repents, he is turned right around towards God. Uh-huh. And he leaves his old life. Yeah. Repentance is the process by which we see ourselves. I got to see Willie, not you. See ourselves just as we are. See ourselves just as God sees us, day by day. Not just one time, but every day. As we really are sinful, needy, dependent people. It is a process by which we see God as he is. Awesome, majestic, all-powerful, and holy. He said that there must be repentance. Then Peter says, secondly, you must be baptized. That's what he tells them. But look what he says, though. You must be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, there is a discussion among some church folks in how you ought to be baptized. We Baptists, we come out of Matthew 28, and we say, baptized in the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Pentecostals say, baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Pentecostals say, if you don't say it just that, it haven't happened. We Baptists say, if you don't say it in the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, it ain't happened. Mm-hmm. But I was told by my professor years ago, I can baptize in the name of Black Eyed Peas, and if you don't have it, it won't make a difference. All right. It's not in the name. But it's in you, whether you've been saved or not, whether you have repented of your sin. Yes, sir. And it's interesting that Peter says this, because this is the Jesus Christ they crucified. Yes. And he said, now you got to be baptized in his name. Yes. The Jews now say, what? The one we crucified? The one we killed? Yes. And you said be baptized in his name? Yes. You got to accept him. He's alive now, but you got to accept him. That's what he was saying. He was dead, but now he's alive. You got to put your faith in him now. The one you rejected, you got to put your faith in him. Did he say he came to his home and his own rejected him? Did he say a prophet can find no honor in his own home? Did the Bible say that he could do no great works because of their unbelief? But he's saying, now you got to put your faith in the one you didn't believe. baptism would be their public profession of their faith in Jesus Christ. An outward public profession of an act on the inside that's shown on the outside. And you got to understand that just that alone won't save you. And you see, it comes after repentance. And if you have not repented of your sin, we can baptize you till you change color. It won't make a difference. You got to accept him. Then he said, be baptized. They had to give a public acknowledgement that the one we crucified is now the one we must follow. Peter told him earlier, say, the one you crucified, God had made him Lord and Christ. He had made him God, Yahweh, the Lord God of Israel, Christ, the anointed one. He had made the one you killed, the King of Kings. Now you gotta follow him now. We got to do the same thing, my darling. And Peter kept on preaching, pressing the issue of salvation. Kept telling them that you need to be saved from this corrupt, crooked, and twisted, perverse generation. And I want to stop there just for a moment, that people are saying in the city that the preacher ain't saying nothing about the deaths that's been happening in the community. We're not doing anything. But the problem is greater than we realize. This is people that have rejected God. They got to come back to God. They got to accept Jesus. They got to repent of their sin. And if they come to Jesus, they won't keep on killing each other. We got to find a way to get them to Jesus. That's where the problem is at. Find a way to get them back to Jesus. Men and women, boys and girls, that's why it's so important to teach a child or train him up in the way you ought to go. You know, won't depart from it. But we're dealing with an unchurched generation. We got to get them to Jesus. And I come to tell you, marching is good. We've done it in the past. We probably need to do some more of it, but we got to get them to Jesus. Singing is good. Nobody loves it no more than I do, but we got to get them to Jesus. Praising the Lord is good. Keep on praising the Lord, but we got to get them to Jesus. The choir have not sung in this text. The deacon ain't prayed. Did you notice that? No choir have sung. No deacon have prayed. Nobody have said amen. Hallelujah light. He has just preached the gospel. But you got to understand that the presence of the Holy Ghost is present. Yes. And is at work in Peter and through the rest of them.
Yes, sir.
I got you to understand this morning that I can preach to heaven get the news. But if I'm not saved, won't do me a bit of good. If I don't take the medicine first, won't do me a bit of good. I don't care how much I say to you, I got to do what does say the Lord first in my life. Convinced them they needed to be saved. The gospel convicted them of their sin, commanded them to repent of their sins and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And finally, the gospel converted them. He saved them right there in verse 41. And I told you, you got a choice this morning: accept the gospel or reject it. But the Bible says that those who gladly receive his word were baptized. Those that gladly received the gospel, those that gladly believe the gospel. Those that gladly accepted the gospel, accepted the preaching of Peter. And don't you know somebody was saying, ouch, ouch, ouch. And I think somebody